Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Brian Hyatt. This is Rolling Stone Music Now. Again, we're in the middle of doing some of my favorite episodes where we're looking back at some of the best music of the year. Today I have Joseph Hudak with me and we're going to take a look at country and Americana. There is so much good stuff on this list. Number one came out of nowhere, really. Megan Maroney. And the album is called Lucky, and I kind of fell in love with this album. I think it's great.
It was really a surprise, I think, for us. And I have to say, I love that we have a debut album as the top album of the year for us on the country side. It just proves that there's constantly new and fresh music being made that is powerful and is important, and it can really surprise you. I think she's from Savannah. She came out of nowhere with a song called Tennessee Orange, which was a college football allusion, very popular here in the South, crossed over around the country, and everybody was into this song.
And that was the implication that she dated Morgan Wallen? Was that the whole thing?
There is some rumor of that. I do not believe neither she nor he have confirmed that, but people were surmising that. So with that, who knows? Did that play into the song being more popular because of the conjecture around that? It could be. But I mean, look, you can never underestimate the power of college football in the South. And I think that's part of the reason that this song really grabbed its core audience. But the thing that I love about the album is that she's doing mainstream country, right? Popular country, pop country, radio country. And she has one of the best architects of that genre of the last two decades in Christian Bush. So Christian Bush was one half of Sugarland with Jennifer Nettles. Christian is very eclectic in his musical tastes. And when I saw that he produced this album, I have to say that's what made me listen to it at first, because I really wanted to see what he did. And it's great. So when John Bernstein wrote his blurb about Megan Maroney and Lucky, he was talking a bit about, like, you know, this is this Gen Z iteration, he said, of Three Chords and the Truth. And involved plenty of SEC football, he says, self-doubt, and social media scrolling. And there's a song called I'm Not Pretty that opens the album, and there's a lyric in there where she says, "Did you mean to double tap that spring break throwback from 2016 in PCB, right?
Did you mean to double tap that spring break throwback from 2016 in PCB?
Double tap. Someone's lurking on Instagram. They're looking at an ex. They see this photo from spring break from 2016 in PCB, Panama City Beach, down here in the South, a big destination for spring break, especially outside of Nashville. And yeah, she tees it up perfectly.
There's another, I can't remember which artist, but there's another artist on this list who has a song that mentions Instagram. So it's country has finally decided to do the social media references.
Yeah, indeed, right? It all comes through eventually.
And the number two album on your list is, you know, it's by Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit. It's Weather Vanes. And in the indie rock segment, we were talking about it's hard to, you can underappreciate, we were talking about a band like Wilco or The National, who are just consistently good. And sometimes that, as a journalist, that sometimes robs you of the narrative of the comeback or the, like, here's the new band. Instead, they're excellent. They're consistently excellent. What do you say? And I think I underrated this album at first, maybe for part of that reason. He's writing classics without seeming like he's straining to write classics. The song King of Oklahoma, the second track, is amazing.
Yeah, I was just sitting here looking through the track list with you, and I can't pick a favorite. There's so many strong standouts. King of Oklahoma, that you just mentioned, the lyricism in that about someone whose life goes off the rails because of pain pills, it's really striking. And then two songs later from that is a song called Middle of the Morning that I just think it's one of his prettiest sounding songs, and a new classic. I think I called it a new Isbell classic when I first wrote about it. I love that tune.
In the middle of the morning and in the evening again,
Yes, I've tried. But I think the standout, if I had to pick, Cast Iron Skillet. It's like an advice song, right? Don't wash the cast iron skillet. There's all these different things in there, Southern advice that he uses to tell a larger story. It's really terrific.
Don't wash the cast iron skillet. Don't drink and drive you.
And he has continued honing his lead guitar skills. It's nice to hear someone make a space for themselves where they can, in 2023, blast off of those solos.
Yeah, and part of that is Sadler Vaden, too. I mean, we'd be remiss to not mention him. He is the lead guitarist in 400 Unit. And if you've never seen Jason and the 400 Unit, one of the highlights is watching he and Sadler just do these guitar duels on stage. It's great. It's like old school 70s guitar duels. Two lead guitarists in a band, unheard of in 2023, 2024.
So this is a more mainstream one, mm-hmm. Kelsey Ballerini's. And it was like two albums. Like, what is the deal? It's Rolling Up the Welcome Mat / For Good.
Yeah. So Kelsey went through a divorce, and this was really an EP when she released it as Rolling Up the Welcome Mat. And it talked about her divorce from a fellow country singer named Morgan Evans. And she talked at length about that. It was very much a post-divorce diary. And she was open and very vulnerable. And there were a lot of, like, you know, confessional type songs that were just heart-wrenching. A song called Just Married is one to listen to.
Maybe I was too young to understand what I wanted to begin with.
And a song called Blindsided. But then she revisited the album, moved some things around, added a song called How Do I Do This?
I haven't been on a date since I was 22. My friend has a friend and they say they're my type. And then they texted me.
And re-released it as Rolling Up the Welcome Mat, parenthetical, For Good. And it got nominated for a Grammy. What's fascinating is that she let this EP breathe and live with her fans, and they really connected to it, and they helped her get through the pain of her divorce, and she revisited it to put a period on it, but also look to the future. And How Do I Do This is what that is. It's about getting back into the singles game, and how do I date after having been married for as long as she was, I believe it was a few years. So the thing that we really wrestled with this when it comes to lists is, it was an EP, right? So it was originally released as an EP. It wasn't called an album. But our argument was, if a streaming targeted playlist of 30 plus songs, let's say Morgan Wallen's latest, or so many, there's so many monster albums out there, if they can be considered an album, then certainly an EP with such a clear narrative and through line could be considered an album.
Yeah, I think fair enough. We'll allow it. So Brandi Clark, number four. Mm-hmm. Self-titled album. And this is a great example of a Nashville songwriter who has made it, to say the least, as a recording artist. But mm-hmm. the songwriting is always going to be at the core here. But she has a great voice. And this album is produced by Brandi Carlile.
Yes. And Brandi Carlile appears on this piano ballad called Dear Insecurity. It's just fantastic.
Dear Insecurity. All we meet again, don't try.
The song that really strikes me, though, is one called Buried. And it's basically, remember like John Waite's Missing You, right? Where this whole song, he's talking about, I'm over this person, I ain't missing you. That's what Buried is. She talks about all these different things that she's going to do now that she's over this person. She's going to read Lonesome Dove. She's going to go to Paris. She's going to do all these different things now that she has the time. But then at the very last line of the song, it's one of those great country lines where she says, I'll love you until I'm buried.
If you don't want me, if...
That's great country songwriting there, right? She leads you along this path thinking like, oh, she's over this person. And then you find out at the very end, the very last sentence, but I'll love you till I'm buried, that she's really not.
And number five is, I have to say, one of my favorite albums mm-hmm. of 2023 at this point. Great artist, Margot Silker, and the album is Valley of Heart's Delight.
Yeah, Margot Silker. Props to Jonathan Bernstein, my colleague here at Rolling Stone, who really turned me on to this album. And Margot Silker came through town here in Nashville, and he said, you have to go see her. I did not know the album at that time, but I walked away with so many songs stuck in my head, which is really the mark of a great album. Margot is from California, and she writes songs that are very, I would say, Western in nature, a lot of wanderlust. She has a song called Lowland Trail that opens the album. Extremely catchy. And then it goes right into a song called Keep It On a Burner.
I've got places, I've got things, I've got friends, I've got something.
Same thing, super catchy, and you find these melodies stuck in your head. I would argue there's very few albums that started as strongly as Valley of Heart's Delight. Lowland Trail, Keep It On a Burner, I Remember Carolina. And Beggar for Your Love.
I will remember how it hurt me when I...
Those first four songs are just boom. They're really great. Yeah, check this album out for sure. Yeah,
Keep It On a Burner has that great sort of New Orleans feel.
Yeah, absolutely. Horns. And really good lyricism. Really good.
She has a line about seeing Dylan and he tipped his hat to her.
That's
I hope
right.
That's true.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is. I want to believe.
He could see in the audience that she must be a good songwriter. He could feel it.
Maybe that's it, right?
It's Dylan, you couldn't put him past it. Yeah, I really, really, really strong album and an artist, again, from nowhere. I love that she had fronted a Lucinda Williams cover band while living in Spain. What an amazing resume.
Isn't it? Yeah.
I like the idea that in some town in Spain, that could be a full-time job, is fronting a Lucinda.
If only. Gosh, if only.
I'd do it myself if it was available. Yeah. So speaking of Lucinda Williams, here is the actual Lucinda Williams with Stories from a Rock and Roll Heart. And she's had a rough road. She had a stroke, I believe.
She did. She had a stroke a few years back. She is on her way to recovery. She's obviously touring. She's singing so strongly. She did lose some of the ability to play guitar like she once did, but you could tell that she's taken that energy, so to speak, and put it into her vocals. It's very strong vocals on this album. It's a rock and roll album, let's be honest. It's on here as our number six. And that's the thing about Americana music per se. It is such a big umbrella that you could almost shoehorn anything into that genre. But my gosh, Lucinda Williams is one of the best songwriters of our generation. And with this album, she really wanted to make a New York bar band record. It opens with a song called Let's Get the Band Back Together, where she has a whole bunch of special guests singing back up in these like gang vocals. Margo Price is one of them. Jesse Malin from New York, he co-wrote some songs on this. It really has a gritty vibe.
It's hard to believe when I think back how we ever stayed on track.
Oh, and gosh, the biggest part of it. How can
I forget? There's a few albums on here with Bruce Springsteen vibes, but this is the only one that has, to my knowledge, that has actual Bruce Springsteen and Patti Scalfa on it on this song. Near a comeback.
Yes, New York comeback, which is so great. Springsteen is on that. Patti Scalfa is on that. And they're also on the song Rock and Roll Heart. But the one that you could really hear Bruce just powerfully on is New York Comeback. Just a terrific song.
Now, number seven, I would imagine a lot of people have heard this album, but it's absolutely fascinating to me that Zach Bryan, and of course the artist is Zach Bryan, the album is Zach Bryan. And it's so fascinating to me that a guy like Zach Bryan, who makes music that isn't that far afield from Jason Isbell, and is incredibly influenced by Bruce Springsteen, as I knew the moment that I heard him, and then learned that he has a Nebraska tattoo and all this other stuff. So it wasn't just a guess. He's a huge Springsteen guy. But that someone who's coming from that direction was a huge commercial artist this year. That's what's fascinating to me. And I think the album is great.
That's such the surprise. And this is what's so, man, we can talk about Zach Bryan for the length of this podcast.
Absolutely.
Because there's so many interesting things to dissect. Yeah, he's broke on socials, right, through TikTok and whatnot, where he developed a fan base by singing vulnerable emotion, oftentimes acoustic songs directly to his fans, circumvented the typical route of doing interviews and pushing money towards radio to try to be on country radio. And the result is he's developed an insanely passionate fan base. He will headline stadiums this summer. And yeah, this album is really good. The song that everyone gravitated toward was I Remember Everything, which featured Casey Musgraves in a duet. It was Casey's first number one song. That's a good one. What else do you say about it? Talk about two vocalists.
You have your daddy in his 88 Ford, Labrador hanging out the passenger door.
And then there was other stuff that was a little more hushed and intimate. A song called Smaller Acts we really liked.
Smaller Acts, she likes honey in her coffee. Boys use it best.
And kind of what we, I call it Stomp and Clap, East Side of Sorrow. That's kind of like what Zach does. I think if you like really wanted to talk about what makes him so popular. To me, you go back and think, what were kids listening to? And what do kids of the last 10 to 15 years think of when they think of country music? It's very likely that they think of bro country, right? Because country radio was just inundated with Florida Georgia Line and a lot of the artists that came after them. And it was very polished, very slick, drum beats, manufactured beats. But then, out of nowhere, you start hearing what Zach Bryan does, which is just a guy and a guitar, at least in his videos, and it just cuts through the noise, the voice of God, right? And I really think that's part of it. I think it was 2009. When did Mumford drop? Mumford & Sons came out at a time when, like, the biggest artists were Black Eyed Peas. I think Womanizer was out by Britney Spears then. I mean, these are songs that were very slick and produced and computerized, for lack of a better word. And when Mumford & Sons came out, people just heard this bunch of guys with a guitar. They're not reinventing the wheel, but to ears that have only listened to Black Eyed Peas, et cetera, for the last 10 years, it sounded like something totally new. I think that's partly what explains the popularity of Zach Bryan.
Yeah, I wonder how many Zach Bryan fans are also fans of Noah Kahan, you know?
Totally, right.
Because that's someone, I mean, if you want to talk about Mumford & Sons, I mean, he's almost literally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
every generation gets the Mumford they deserve, or maybe two of them. and so I think they're both competing in their own ways to be Noah quite more literally, to be the Mumford of the moment. I think another thing that occurs to me as far as his similarity, you know, especially to like Jason Isbell, is you do think of Graham Parsons did his thing. And then the Eagles did a very similar thing and got a billion times bigger. Or you think of Leon Russell doing his thing and then Elton John doing a similar thing and making his way to the masses. There's precedent on that. And in all those cases, like, all those artists are great in their way. And I think this might be a similar thing, although I would like to hear Isbell's feelings about all this.
Yeah, I actually would too. I really would. I would love that. You know, it's no surprise too when you hear that one of Zach Bryan's favorite bands is the Lumineers, right? That kind of dovetails right with the Mumford stuff. You know, it's everything comes back, right?
Marcus Mumford told me somewhat ashamedly that one of his biggest influences on the whole thing was actually specifically Springsteen's Seeger Sessions album. A lot of the whole vibe of Mumford & Sons came from a combination of that and Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, which they were a little embarrassed about, but that was their thing. So it's time is a flat circle. I don't know. And of course, Marcus Mumford, people shame them so hard for the strumming and yelping that they're doing anything but the thing that people now want again.
That's it. So, it really is true. People love it right now.
So it's time. Mumford & Sons needs to come back and do their Mumford & Sons thing. They need to be less embarrassed by it. Very unique album at number 8, Alison Russell, The Returner. Just really powerful, gospel-y vocals in places. And Americana, as you said, is such a broad genre that it's like you can almost take any album released this year and make a case for why it's Americana. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is one of those words. It's in another world, you could see this marketed as alt R&B. You had another suggestion for what people could call it. I forgot.
Yeah, some indie rock to me. I hear some of that. The thing about The Returner, this Alison Russell album, is it's a very much a joyful or a joyous album. A lot of heavy bass grooves, a lot of percussion, very uplifting. There's one called Requiem, and then title track, The Returner, same thing, very much lifting you up. But that's not to say there's not some songs that kind of probe grief and pain. There's a song called Demons, it's quite good. Demons. And then another called Eve Was Black.
Eve was black, haven't you heard? The mother of all was dark and good.
Yeah, Alison Russell, man. Outside Child, her debut was so well received and so well regarded. And I think The Returner, if she didn't top it, she at least equaled it. It's a great album.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
And Margot Price Strays. The first track is really interesting because she does something I didn't realize she could do, which is she sounds exactly like Stevie Nicks on the opening track, Been to the Mountain.
Almost
convince someone it's a Stevie Nicks track or a Fleetwood
Mac. That's one of my favorite songs of the year. She really, yeah, I love that song so much. I think she says, I got nothing to prove, I got nothing to sell. I think there's one line where she says, I used to be a waitress, now I'm a consumer. And it's good stuff, man. I love that tune. You talk about like releasing Strays too, because she later on re-released it with like in three different acts. It was a re version of the album. But for Record Store Day recently, she just released a live version of a couple of the songs recorded here at Grimey's in Nashville Record Shop. And man, is it good. These songs really come to life live. And I would encourage you to check that out if you can. But some of the other songs on here, aside from Bend to the Mountain, County Road. Check out County Road. Just a devastating song.
And Brothers Osborne have been around for a while. Tell me about them. And this is, again, a more commercial thing, but sure. pretty fun, pretty hard-hitting.
Oh, man. Brothers Osborne, they just constantly get better. They're so important to this town and to country music. We talk about this a lot in our little writers group, but we hope that that Nashville realizes what they have here. They're just great. And this new album, they worked after years of working with Jay Joyce. They switched producers, went with Mike Elizondo, who's worked with Carrie Underwood and Eminem. And Elizondo brought in a whole bunch of different players, including Abe Laboriel Jr. on drums, who, of course, is McCartney's drummer. It's awesome. There's such an energy to this record that I haven't heard from them before in the studio. Big song is called Nobody's Nobody.
Days of glory, some people never ever make a name, but change the game in someone's story. I'm still trying to leave my mind.
And there's another one called Back Home.
I'm either moving like molasses on a California freeway, laid over.
The one that I love is this kind of country disco song called Ain't Nobody Got Time for That. It just grabs you. They are unabashedly disco in that, and it's just so much fun.
I feel like Ain't Nobody Got Time for That has got to be based on that famous meme that video of the woman running out of the fire.
Right.
It's got to be. That's very clever.
So great.
That feels like a writer's room joke that turns
probably
into a song.
Yeah. I know Jaron Johnston from Cadillac 3 co-wrote that, so there that sounds like his type of humor.
But that's super clever. That's such a Nashville thing to take that thing that's been floating in the air for years and make a song out of it.
Right? Yeah. And you wonder, like, how has no one not written that yet? It's crazy.
So I think you wanted to jump to Stephen Wilson Jr., Son of Doubt.
Oh, yeah. Man, that album. So this is a cool one. So Stephen Wilson Jr. is a really interesting character. He used to play in a band here in Nashville, an indie rock band called Autovon. He played lead guitar, I believe. But at that same time, he was actually a chemical scientist. He worked for various food companies. He gave it all up to go full on into... So yeah, so Son of Dad is a double record, and it is primarily inspired by the sudden death of Stephen's father. And there's 22 tracks on this. There's a song called Father Son about grief that is just, man, it'll wreck you.
Sit on me like granddaddy's rifle. Raise me up like sweet corn.
And then a song called Billy. It's kind of like about, I don't want to say that there's rural cliches. It's not really that, but you have to listen to it. I'll just leave it at that.
With one hand clean and bluegill with the other. There's a cold enough knee strong.
But my favorite is a song called Mighty Beast, which is very much grungy country. And I would describe what Stephen Wilson Jr. does sonically as grunge country. Listen to the album, you hear a lot of stuff. A friend of mine is a huge metal fan, and he asked me what he should listen to this year in the country world. I sent him this album, and it's one of my top three records of the year. A really unique take on country music with lyrics that are... Here's the thing about Stephen, and I love this. Again, he's a man of science, but yet he is also a man of faith. And we've had conversations where he's told me he's seen people at his shows who were demonically possessed, and he told me why he believed that. And
sure.
I love that, but I love this. Right? This is the thing where we don't... The problem with when we talk about mainstream country or anything is that people are so afraid to talk about different things and show a unique portrait of themselves. And that's not the case with him. He is just an open book. And here's a little tidbit for you. His wife is Lee Nash, a singer in Sixpence, None the Richer.
If you're demonically possessed and you buy a ticket, do you get your money refunded?
No, he will exercise the demons for you.
Okay, good.
Yeah, dude, check this album out,
how this works, yeah.
You really got to check this album out, Brian. I really think you'll dig it.
I liked it a lot. It's
cool.
It has a real darkness to it.
Yes, exactly. That's what's so great about it.
And Tyler Childers, Rustin' in the Rain. So tell me about the concept of that. It was inspired by thinking about songs that Elvis Presley might have cut.
Yeah, that was funny. Like when I read that in the materials that came with the album, I was surprised. I thought he was making a joke or something. But from what he says, these were songs that he wrote and recorded because he does cover Chris Christopherson's Help Me Make It Through the Night. And he also covers S.G. Goodman's Space and Time. But he thought, when he was putting this album together, that he was thinking about what songs would Elvis record in the 70s. And that's what he did. And you could hear that for some of it. Like there's a song called Phone Calls and Emails that is very much what it talks about, very modern in its lyrics, right? There's the age of big tech and how we're all tied to our phones. But he delivers it with this very Nashville sound style, almost like Billy Sherrill, He Stopped Loving Her Today arrangement. The dichotomy of that, the juxtaposition of those sounds and those lyrics is what really drew me to that song in particular.
I hope you slept well. I hope that my message...
But yeah, the whole album's really great. It's a short album, I think 7 songs. But again, what's the difference here, right? We're talking about 7 songs on something like this versus 32 on whatever the big streaming giant is today. But yeah, and Tyler Childers is doing 2 nights at Madison Square Garden in New York City. So everything we thought we once knew about country music is wrong. The fact that Tyler Childers, who does not have radio play, I should take that back. He has some radio play now for his song In Your Love. I believe it's his first charting single at country radio. But the fact that he can do that and sell out 2 nights at Madison Square Garden, you know, a guy from Kentucky, it's really interesting how the genre is just getting everywhere.
So Marty Stewart, this is a guy,
is
a guy who's had such a long and cool career in country and such a talented dude. And this album is a whole different thing. It's in that cosmic country thing that he's been getting into. And it does feel like has a little bit of that Byrds Graham Parsons thing and a bunch of instrumentals. It's a really cool album.
Yeah, I really enjoy this record. This was a sleeper, and I was really glad that we worked this onto the list because it really deserves some ears. Yeah, you're right. Jangly guitar, 12-string jangle, and like the song called Sitting Alone, Psychedelia.
Sitting alone, looking at all the busy people in this town.
In the song, the sun is quietly sleeping.
We'll talk of things that we'll do tonight.
So Marty Stewart's album Altitude, which is recorded with his longtime band, the Fabulous Superlatives, opens with this kind of interstitial thing called Lost Bird Space Station, which is very much like outer space sounds and sounds of the birds. But then it segs right into the song called Country Star, which is very country and almost Grand Ole Opry in its lyricism and its references and allusions, but a lot of guitar twang, surf rock, jangle rock, California, man. It's just, the whole album is great, man. You guys got to listen to this. It's a really great driving record too. Make that be your driving soundtrack.
Radio, heard myself singing on a television show. 10 minutes later, rodeo came to town.
Yeah, very cool thing.
Yeah, super cool.
So Peter One is the artist. Yeah. And what a insane backstory. The album has come back to me. He's Ivorian, released an album that was considered a classic in West Africa nearly 40 years ago, has not released an album since, if I'm correct.
That is what I understand. Yeah. From the Ivory Coast, he released his debut album, which, from what I understand, was considered a classic in West Africa. And that was 4 decades ago. And then he moved to the US, to Nashville, did a career outside of music. And then this is his first album since in 40 years, Come Back to Me. Alison Russell, who we spoke about before, she's on this song called Birds Go Die Out of Sight, about aging and mortality, that closes the album.
Don't go home. There's nothing for you.
But his voice is so powerful, and the jazz folk pop sounds really just draw you right in. And he sings in English, in French, and in Guro.
Yeah, it's obviously sounds pretty different from everything else on this list, but yeah, an album I was very glad to discover.
Yeah, it's great. Coming in at number, 22 is the Cadillac 3, and they have an album called The Years Go Fast.
Yeah.
So Cadillac 3 are Nashville natives. Three dudes went to high school together, known each other since those days. A real hard rock trio who've also had some country success. They've always been in the country sphere, which, you know, at their heart, it's a rock and roll band. This is the cliche, but they are big in Europe. They are on big festivals over in Europe, and that's not the same here in the States. You know what? We can talk about that, what that means. But as far as this album, the thing that really grabbed me, it's called The Years Go Fast, and it's them, three rock and roll guys growing up, really. Mm. They're all married now, and Neil Mason is the drummer. Kelby Ray is their lap steel player, who sometimes will play bass, which is interesting when you get that. But they made their bones as just a power trio with Kelby on lap steel. And then singer guitarist is Jaron Johnston. Jaron is a big songwriter in Nashville. He had a lot of hits, and he really grew up on this album. And unfortunately, it came through grief and tragedy because his father passed away unexpectedly, I believe, 2 years ago. And that really informs this record. Look at the title, The Years Go Fast. The song, the title track is very much, the title comes from the song Young and Hungry, which to me sounds very much like Country Strokes.
Dream sleeping on the couch, holes in my boots, kiss on my cheek, no cash in my pocket, just buy another round.
You remember they used to call Kings of Leon the Country Strokes? I really hear that here in this song. And then they have a song called Double Wide Grave, which kind of nods to their rural upbringing. And then I have a song called Hillbilly with Elvie Shane, who is another artist that I'm just a huge fan of, and Ketch Secor from Old Crow Medicine Show on fiddle. That's a great one, too.
Raised in the holler, inherited the problems of a name drug dude, mud broke.
The highlight, though, is a song called This Town Is a Ghost, which Jaron wrote directly about the death of his father. And yeah, trying to just carry on and seeing him in some manifestation wherever he goes. Yeah, it'll wreck you.
I see you in every truck that passes by. Louisiana town.
And a band that's been around for a while, Turnpike Troubadours, and the album is The Cat in the Rain.
Yeah, Turnpike Troubadours, just at the forefront of the Red Dirt movement, which is, for those who don't know, a subgenre of country music, very country, very rock, that is, gets its name from the red clay of Texas and Oklahoma in that region. They were on hiatus for about 3 years, Turnpike Troubadours, and they got back together. Lead singer Evan Felker got sober. They teamed up with Shooter Jennings, Grammy-winning producer, and of course, son of Waylon, and they did an album called A Cat in the Rain. This is a comeback record. Evan Felker talks a lot about sobriety in it and a song called The Rut. He says, I don't miss the taste of liquor or really anything about it, but the temporary shelter was a welcome compromise. His lyrics are very literary. Mean Old Sun, which was the first single, it's him tempting and daring the sun, be like, come on, set on me, you're not going to do it.
My ties are binding, go away.
So it's a song of defiance. It's a song of perseverance. The whole album is that, really. And yeah, they are back, and their fans couldn't be happier.
Riley Green, Ain't My Last Rodeo.
Yeah, Riley Green, he is a mainstream country singer. He is over on Big Machine. He has got a lot of radio play. But what I loved about this album is just how country it is. That's kind of a cliche, and people say that a lot, but it sounds like a country record to me from the 90s, from the 80s. You know, he has a song called Damn Country Music that was a Tim McGraw song. He kind of puts a new spin on it.
In the lights, things to keep you up all night, like Whiskey Street at 3 a.m.
He has a song called Mississippi or Me, which is, you know, what happened to an ex.
Put into my drive tonight. Was a sight for sore eyes, last thing I thought I'd see.
And he's got a collab with, you know, the man of the hour, Jelly Roll, called Copenhagen in a Cadillac.
Copenhagen in a Cadillac, spinning mud tires while I'm spinning out.
Riley has a song called My Last Rodeo, and it's written in the aftermath of his grandfather's dying. Both of them died.
This ain't my last rodeo. No, it's just time for this old.
And they were both very instrumental and influential to what he does. It's a really solid country music record, man. Ain't My Last Rodeo, Riley Green.
And you had one you wanted to talk about that really belongs more in our indie rock list, but
it
close
sure
enough.
Does. Yeah.
And it's a singer-songwriter doing some rock stuff. Brian Dunn, Loser on the Ropes.
That's right. Yeah, Brian Dunn, Loser on the Ropes. So Brian is a big Springsteen fan. He has one song called Optimist where he sneaks in the melody of The Rising in the middle of it. And I was like listening to it and I'm like, my God, he did that.
Yeah,
do not tell the lawyers.
Trying to shake out of the shape I'm in. Trying to believe and believe.
It's a really great album. I summed it up as like an album about wrestling with imposter syndrome, where he talks a lot about just questioning his talent and his self-esteem and the direction of his life. And it's really heartfelt. It's a wonderful indie pop rock and roll album. The title track is really great. And there's a song called Stand Clear of the Closing Doors. That is the one that really drew me in. But a side note, Brian Dunn is also in my favorite new band of the last year, a band called Fantastic Cat, who are an amalgamation rock and roll Voltron, if you will, four songwriters, a guy named Mike Montali, Anthony D'Amato, Don DeLego, and Brian, and they put out an album called The Very Best of Fantastic Cat that if you are a fan of Springsteen, Dylan, ELO, I just couldn't recommend it enough.
That's cool, and I think I especially love the Brian Dunn because I think it has the lowest Spotify plays of anything we've talked about. Our listenership on this pod alone could literally double the Spotify plays. If everyone just goes and listens to Loser on the Ropes by Brian Dunn this week, We'll watch those numbers go up.
Let's watch them go.
Anyway, great list of albums. What are you looking forward to for 2024?
Oh, man, 2024. Kenny Chesney has a new album coming out in 2024 mm-hmm. called Born. I got to say, I've been in a Chesney mode lately. I'm excited to see what he's got in the studio, and he's doing a big tour and looking forward to seeing that. I think Zach Bryan's going to drop another one. That's going to be a big deal. Oh, man, Wyatt Flores. That's who I got to talk about. Wyatt Flores, he has an EP out called Life Lessons. He is 23, from another kind of red dirt singer, lives in Nashville now, but originally from Oklahoma. I saw him open for a guy named Charles Wesley Godwin, who is also terrific, and I was just blown away. And so I'm excited for Wyatt Flores' full-length album when it arrives. But right now, check out Life Lessons, his EP. He has a song called Orange Bottles, which is kind of an allusion to pills on the road. Just great.
Mold in the bottom of my coffee cup. Somehow I still got a wake up. Room full of eyes
and it goes back, Brian, all the way back to Zach Bryan, because it's very much that kind of strummy kind of guitar with emotional lyrics. I've been calling it emo country, and that's what I think the 2024 is going to be, the year of emo country.
You heard it here maybe first.
Maybe first. That's it. Yeah.
All right. Thanks as always. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, Brian. Thanks.
And that's our show. We'll be back next week. In the meantime, subscribe to Rolling Stone Music now, wherever you get your podcasts. And please leave us 5 stars and a nice review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, because that's always appreciated. But as always, thanks so much for listening, and we will see you next week.